Sydney and Lois. Hey, these guys are boss tough. So, you know, I hope you bought your dancing shoes. If you do, just take them and put them on right now so you won't have to bend over while.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. It's our joy. Well, good evening. We're so glad to be here. Where'd she go? She's already leaving. Where'd you go? Where are you going? Oh, she forgot something. Okay. Ray forgot something. Well, we were trying to remember the first time we were here. Now, it'll be 42 years in April that Shekinah Glory will start our 43rd year in April of 2000. But I think it was 80 because, was it before we graduated from Rhema or after? Seems like it was before because we had started in 78 and then we had gone about a year and a half and then went to Rhema 79-80, but we traveled every weekend or pretty whenever we could. We worked and went to school and traveled and rehearsed and prayed. And we didn't think we were doing too much. You didn't at all. You just, every moment you had, you just tried to use it to get ready. So praise the Lord. Make sure your mic is on. No, it's not.
I remember,
hold on here.
I think our first church was Bill McRae.
There you go.
Charles Cowan in Nashville.
And
New Life in Memphis. That was our third church.
Yeah. When we first started. So I know it had to be somewhere between, probably because we went on the West Coast during that end part of 79, and I think it was with
Sandy
around
Brown
in there. Anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 79.
I can't get it to stay. Thank you, my servant. And so,
but anyway. Thank God.
Well, it's not been together almost 44 years, right?
Been friends for 34. That's not too bad, right? 34 out of 40. No, I'm too. Just
but
joking.
I was thinking
kind of got that spirit from your pastor, you know. Oh, help us all.
No, I think we got it from the founding pastor, too. So I've been going through all kinds of emotions today. It's the first time we've been here.
Yeah, while I was in here today setting up, I kept thinking, I kept seeing in my mind.
Yeah.
Robert walking through the door.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and praise the Lord. You got to give us a minute, okay? We will.
I'm just thankful that, you know, work of faith, still, the Bible says that he that does the will of God abides forever. And I love that scripture because there's something about the will of God that endures. It's like, the Bible says about the one who offered the right gift in Hebrews 11. Was it, you know, there's the two brothers. Was it Esau? What? No, not Esau. I'm sorry. Anyway, it says he being dead still speaks.
And so then I see Karen come through the door, you know, without Bill. And praise the Lord. We got we got a lot of family to go home to, don't we?
Cheering us on.
They're cheering us on. You know what they're saying? Give it all you got. It's better than we thought.
Yeah.
Give it all you got. It's better than we thought.
It's better than we thought.
It's better than we thought.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Give it all you got.
To live is Christ, but
to die is gain.
Far better.
That's what I was thinking about, Barbara and who else? Miss Fran, because I think we got the last picture down here with Miss Fran, Barbara, and everybody in it. And who else? Barbara Kellogg. Is she here? No, I know she's around, but is she here? Okay, all right. All right, somebody call her on the phone. Okay, Lori. Yeah, you get it. I'm sorry? Okay, all right. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Just tell her I missed her, please. Or give me her number. I'll tell her personally. And I know there's so much has happened. We've been in every building New Life ever had. Every building. Isn't that something? My Lord.
How many of y'all remember a few of those?
Woo! Ooh, how about glory. The bubble? Anybody remember the bubble? But what I love about it was such a pioneering spirit back in those days, because today a lot of people graduate and they want to go work for a church that's really going, you know. Well, back then when we all graduated from Raymond, we were all just going anywhere we could get in.
You did whatever you had to do.
Whatever we had to do.
You weren't looking for somebody to take care of you.
Much less.
You were looking for to build a place that would be able to, a supply would come from.
Much less going out and asking somebody for a salary. You know, you didn't do that. I mean, they were just trying to get started themselves. Oh, praise God. I love those days. And look what we were a part of. This church, listen, I'm just saying what we were a part of. I know we still are, but I like to thank Him for where we started and where all we've gone and the road we've taken. This church has always been a praying church. I'm telling you, no telling what this church has prayed in around the world, not just here, but I mean, they're the praying church. They've been a word church, came in right out of the gate teaching on faith. I mean, just right out of the gate. What a praying church, a giving church. I remember the time when we just got back from Malaysia, our first overseas trip, and make sure you're supposed to go there if you do. And so, oh my Lord, 30 days. We had 32 days.
32 meetings in 30 days.
That's not it. We were supposed to have 32 days. We lost a day in L.A. because our plane couldn't leave. And so we had 30 different places in 31 days.
Okay.
I would suggest not do that. But anyway.
Some of those places we got to by driving all night to get there.
To the next place.
You do that
Singapore,
two or three times.
Singapore. I think we were the first Raymond graduates in Singapore. And some of the first in Malaysia. And, it was incredible what happened. Every city was a citywide meeting, and people came out from everywhere, I guess just to see who we were. And but so much happened. But I remembered when we got back from that tour, it took us almost 6 months to recuperate. And we weren't very old then. I mean, you know, we were young. Of course, I was older than Ray. I'm Lois. Obviously, I always am.
She still is.
Still is. But we were broke. We put everything into it. We were broke. We were sick. And we didn't know what to do. And so, and all I heard was, call Robert. He never gets offended over money. Remember, he would say, don't get offended, just give. Remember, that was his big deal. Don't get offended over money, just give. And I called, and I said, Robert, I said, I don't know who else to call. I know a lot of pastors, but I don't know anybody like you that wouldn't mind this phone call. We don't know what to do. He said, don't worry about it. We'll send a check every month to you. We'll send you a nice one to get you started so you don't have to worry about your bills and stuff. We'll send it every month till everything's paid off. Then, remember we were here and we drove off in the van, the black and red van? He said, if you can take the payments now. We were like, but he had already paid on it. So it wasn't that bad, you know. Okay, I think we can do it. I think we can believe.
Yeah, but the other part of that story was he said, what kind of color van you been wanting? We said, well, blue. And Tony said, I told you to get a blue van.
She knows you that. I told you to get that one next to it. I told you to get that one next to it.
Well, he said, that's all right. We'll take the black.
But he went, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he just looked at us and went, can't you see? And Tony, I told you to get that van. Would you take the black and red that I misgot?
Yeah, God can turn a mistake into a mission, can't he? Amen. He sure can. That's why we're here tonight. Because there are things that change.
God.
But there are things that still remain the same.
It's all different. It's not a dream. It's not a... Sometimes you feel like you're dreaming. But once you get a revelation, there's no fear. Will this happen? Will this happen? No. You ain't never coming back. It's different. The whole thing is just different. It's all changed. It's just, then it's just your way of life. And then you got to tell somebody else. You just got to. Say, look, I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, I've just messed up so many times. I mean, when is it going to take? When is it really going to take? Once you get a revelation. Paul prayed, the eyes of your heart would be flooded with the knowledge.
Flooded with light.
What it's called you to. Once you see it. Man, that's all it takes. And then somebody says, well, they shouldn't have done that. I mean, they're a Christian. No, don't ever say, take that out of your vocabulary. Because obviously there's still a problem. And you ought to feel sorry for them and pray for them because they still have a problem. You're not the one with the problem. They have the problem. And you say, my Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't think like that. I mean, God, you died for them. You could say that about us. Going to get on the cross. They spit at me. They don't believe me. They just said, you think I'm going to get on a cross? They don't even get it. God, Jesus didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them. They're clueless.
They don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing. That's why when anybody, you know, tries to do something against us or whatever, we don't get mad at them. We go, God, they don't see. I feel sorry for them. They just don't get it. And that's the way I felt when I was around Robert and Tony. They would just go, it's all right. I don't see. And Bill, he's the same way, man. He was just so, I couldn't believe that guy was real. Now, he was a dream. You know what I mean? His heart just open. His heart never judging. His heart believing the best. His heart doing whatever he needed to do for anybody at any time. It's okay. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's God's love. That's how much He loved us. The Father cares for us. He loves us. I was listening to El Shaddai. Everybody remember that sermon? El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough? And I just listened to it today, and I thought everybody needs to listen to that at least once a month. And I thought, he was talking about so many different things, healing, different things. But I kept thinking, he's got more than enough love for your problem, more than enough peace for you, more than enough joy, more than enough strength, more than enough character, more than enough stability. I was thinking of all these other things, more than enough. And he's Lord in everything. And I don't know, I don't think we had this
song. We wrote this song, actually. Cindy was going through a difficult time. You know, you can be in the world, but you're not of the world. But you do have to deal with the difficulties this world will cause you to face. But aren't you glad we face them with unchangeable truth that never changes? And she was dealing with some situation, and she'd asked me to pray. It was a difficult time, and I was praying, and I was getting ready in the bathroom, and as I was praying,
actually it was for my mother who was, I didn't know how much longer she was going to be with us. My Jewish Pentecostal mother, remember the Southern Baptist, remember the one I always talked about, you know.
Anyway, so
95.
As I was praying, I started singing the song. Well, as I was singing it, I really had a sense that I was, you know, I was praying for her, praying for Cindy. I felt like I was singing the song for her because she kind of lost that. Sometimes when you're in the middle of trouble and difficulties, you become so focused on the trouble that it tries to take away from you that faith and that strength to be able to just, you know, you kind of forget the things that will help you through the trouble, which is really the whole purpose of it, is to try to get you to just get your eyes off of Jesus. But I started singing that when we went in the music room after Cindy came home and we started working and together we wrote this song. And it's taken from Philippians chapter 2 where it talks about that Jesus has been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It doesn't matter what it is. The fact that's over it all is that Jesus is Lord. Amen. So you receive.
Jesus is Lord. Oh, He will bring peace and calm right in the midst of the storm. Jesus is Lord. I will not be afraid. I can't stand strong. Say, He is my heavenly day. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Aren't you glad? Oh, yes. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
There's a band of believers.
Here they are.
They know their rights.
Yeah.
They're gonna take a stand.
You gotta take it.
They know the power comes from the Father.
What are they doing?
They're going on in. They're gonna take the land. You know, you guys heard this song when we didn't have all the accompaniment. There's a band of believers. They know their rights.
Woo!
They're gonna take a stand. They know their power comes from the Father. They're going on in. They're gonna take the land. Oh, it's true.
We're the best. possible. Oh, yes, I believe. Say with me, yes,
I believe.
No, I'm singing a little differently. Yes, I believe. Oh, yes, I believe that all things are possible. Yes, I, Lord, believe. Oh, I thank you that you never change. I thank you, you're always the same. I thank you, you're faithful and true. I thank you, all things are possible for you. I'm singing it a whole lot simpler than you're playing it. Oh, I thank you. Your word is still the same.
Still the same.
Oh, I thank you. Your power has not changed. And I thank you. Your mercy is great. Oh, I thank you, oh Lord, I thank you. I have faith. It's just, it's not so hard. It's not so hard at all. Just follow what he says and you'll see. Oh, he'll take you and carry you to the end of the journey. So it's not so hard. It's not so hard. You say it's too hard for me. No, it's not hard. For he is well able to complete the thing that he has started. He will never give up on. So trust in him, and you'll see, you will sing a victory song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe. I guess you can sing the standard sense. Only believe. Say, only believe. All things are possible.
All things are possible. Only believe.
Now say, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
When the world and when you get to a place where you don't know what to do, I've known the Lord's faithfulness, he always comes through. When it seems there's got to be another way for you, just trust him. 'cause he always comes through. And I only believe, I only believe, because all things I know are possible when I only believe. Didn't work out that time. Only believe. Well, yeah, but I need this for that and for my children, grandchildren. All things are possible. Only believe. Yeah, but this is changing that, and I don't know what's going on here, and the world looks crazy. Only believe. Travel and sing and keep up this schedule. My goodness, sometimes I'm laying down, I'm thinking, I don't want to go anywhere. And I just started the day and I'm almost through the evening and I'm thinking, Lord, I got to get dressed and go out and sing. Are you kidding? Can I just stay home like normal people? If you don't feel like going somewhere, you go, okay, glad the day's over. I said, Lord, I want my voice to be strong. I'm 72, you know. I've been singing since I was 5. And I said, I want a strong voice if I'm going to continue to do this.
We're praying that happens.
We're praying. We're believing it's going to happen someday.
Well,
for healing, people we've been praying for. We found out that one lady after the meeting, nerve endings in her legs from Bastrop.
The doctors that she was going to be in a wheelchair. We just got this one the other day.
And this was just last, you know, a few months ago when we were there, a few minutes ago.
We were in a church in Texas, and she just sent us a testimony. She thought we might want to know. It's always nice, you know, that's when people do that. But that she had been told by the doctor. Let's see if I can find it here. That she would wanted to let you guys know that you prayed over my leg after the service was over. They were telling her
future.
Yeah, there
was no music or nothing.
She had nerve damage. They were telling her future was a wheelchair. But she said she heard the words, or we said the words, walk, walk, walk. And she said, I've been walking. Now I'm at the gym. The nerve pain disappeared that night. And this was, let's see, we went there in January, the beginning of this year. That's when it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Was it January?
I don't remember.
Anyway, the first part of this year. And she thought, I just thought you might want to know. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad? He's still the same.
He's
yesterday,
the same.
Today, and forever.
Now, this is not isolated. It's been happening everywhere we've gone.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
And
so
you know,
that's
really,
why you just have to...
That wasn't some special anointing or anything. That was just
no,
her
Ray wasn't playing
believing
guitar, you know,
God's word. Hallelujah.
Just walk, walk, walk.
Do you know that the word of God always works.
And one,
always
one,
works.
One meeting we were at, the meeting was almost over, and I kept thinking... I kept thinking, so am I going to be able to walk around the room?
You probably should not go out there.
Yeah, but if I want to pray for somebody,
we'll right.
I'm going out.
We'll fix it.
I don't really care. Okay, we'll just turn it off. I'll throw the mic down. I don't care. If I need to be somewhere, I'm going there. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so like that lady, I walked over to her in the meeting. You know, it was just almost over, but I kept thinking, is there something else I'm supposed to do? Is there something else? And so then I walked over and there was a pastor there, a Methodist pastor there, and he said, would you pray for my mother? And I said, sure. He said, she's had a stroke and she hadn't walked in 2 years. I said, sure. So, and I took her by the hand and pulled her through the chairs. Wasn't very nice, really, but I just, but she didn't mind. I mean, it was like, you're coming. But it was a Holy Ghost thing. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just me doing it. I just turned, I said, come on. Told the ushers to come down. So she walked through the chairs and I said, walk her. And so they went walking, and the ushers, they were so funny. And I said, they said, when can we stop? You know, is it? And I said, don't you dare stop. You walk that lady. She hasn't walked in 2 years. Don't you stop.
We went back to the church a year or so later, maybe two years.
But let me tell you what
I know, but I just insert this little piece. He was in the back of the building. He was the father, the Methodist pastor, the father of this woman. And he just, first thing he said was, she's still walking. Hallelujah.
So after the service, she says, she said, will it hurt?
Son, I'm sorry.
If I go back and walk on the walker. And I said, good Lord, no, you hadn't walked in 2 years. I said, this is a miracle. So the next day, see, when God does something, there's always a train to it. It's for somebody else, somebody else. The Holy Ghost, that's one thing I learned from B.B. Hankins. There's always an attachment to everything that happens by the Holy Spirit. Always something. And so her granddaughter comes in the next day. She sees her walking. She says, Grandma, what happened? She said, well, I went to this meeting. Where Jesus was healing. Really, he's healing everywhere you go. He's healing at the Walmart if you talk to somebody. And so she said, can I go? And she said, yeah, they're going to be here tomorrow night again. So she came in, unbeknownst to us who she was. She was on the front row with a football player on crutches. And so the meeting, man, I tell you, people were getting spirit filled. People were just, you know, it was just wild. And so I could tell, and we asked for people to get spirit filled. They came forward, she did. And I saw the glory all over her, and I gave her the mic. And this little 18-year-old, I'll tell you, Southern Baptist, Methodist girl, she just preached up a storm. She was like, I got spirit filled. Good about that. And then she just preached up a storm how good Jesus was to the whole congregation. And I'm smart enough to know if somebody's got the anointing, let them take it. More can happen with them in 5 seconds than with you for an hour. And so, boy, she was just ripping off. The football player got spirit filled. He was so excited. People were getting spirit filled. I mean, it just turned around. Just one healing from one demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That could be calling someone. I called the pastor's. I called this pastor's wife with all my heart, and I called. This was several years ago, and I left a message on her phone, and I said, I just wanted you to know everything's going to be all right, and I'm praying for you, and you're okay. And so that day, she said, God, she said, isn't there anyone praying for me? I don't know what is wrong with me. She said, I came in, went to the door, and saw the message light. Okay, pop, this is old school, pop the button. Started listening to all of them. She said, then I heard your voice say, just wanted to let you know, I was praying for you, everything's going to be okay. She just broke down and said, God, you heard me. Just a simple phone call. Well, Karen, you know what that's like. A phone call. But we're so busy now. Don't be that busy. Just a call. Just hey. Talk to someone at Walmart while you're Christmas shopping, you know. Hey, yeah. I always say, you know what the season's about, don't you? And I'll stand looking at stuff. I'll look at something, you know what the season's about, don't you? Just see what they say. Yep, they don't know. I say, it's about Jesus. Coming to die for your sins. And most of the time they'll say, oh, I know what it's about. And I'll say, well, do you know his name? You say, that's because you're bold. No, it's because I care. I care more about them knowing Christ than I care what they think about me. I could care less what they think about me. But I want to get that name out. If just think, if every believer, I've been praying, every believer around the world would mention his name. Do you know how many believers are around the world today? It's more than ever has been in the history of the world. Ever, 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 ever. We're not in a bad place. We're in a great place. Praise the Lord. I love you. I love your leading, your worship. I think you're so great. And so we're in a great place. There's more believers now. I'm telling you, if there's 10 righteous, will you listen? Yes! There's thousands and hundreds and thousands of believers around the world. He's listening to us. Praise God. I feel a rumbling, you know. I just feel the rumbling underneath my feet. I'm like, ooh, yeah, there more be with us than there are with them, because we love them and want them to know our Jesus. We don't want them to stay blind. We want their eyes to open. Praise the Lord. We're more concerned with them than we are us. That's the believer. That's the love of God. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah.
Amen. I heard on the inside, answer, tell them while we're with you this time, tell them why they're still here. Tell them why they're still here. Now, it can have many meanings when you say that phrase, but it's really unique. For this church, I believe the Holy Spirit will help you to understand and help you to see why you're still here tonight. You know, you walk with people for a while, for a long time, and you have a different place in their lives. You know, that's the way it is. You can have natural family that you don't really have any time around, and then you can have a family of faith that you are around a lot, and they kind of have a different place in your life. You know what I mean? Because you just have a different level of value and your purpose, and you share that with them. And we feel that with you guys in this church. And I can tell you, you know, when the Azusa Street Revival started, if you would have told people that it would have started in a very small church in California with a one-eyed black man in charge and an interracial church, and they didn't even, I mean, this was in, you know, the turn of the century, or 1900s, you know. I mean, that was not done back then. And, you know, and if it was,
oh,
it was
the Jim Crow law was still in.
Yeah, but there they were, and they, you know, they not only had men, but they had women on their board, not only white, but black and white. And there they were. They were just together. Just, you know, entering in. Brother Hagin said that there are things you can do together that will cause wicked, evil spirits to be pushed back, to be moved. And what causes that to happen is when the glory of God moves in, because light, darkness is gone once light is there. And when they were all in one accord, and he said, one of the ways it happens is with praise, but also with unity. And when there's that joined together, you can literally cause wicked, evil plans to be dispersed. I believe this is one of those places.
Yeah.
I believe this is one of those places.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm just here to tell you, this is one of those places. And I want to help you to see something from the Word tonight to help you to understand a little even more. Why are we still here? You know, there was I read a quote from William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, and his, you know, some people wonder why they're still here. Well, these are some of the quote. Why, you know, these are some things you can glean. You know, when the Word says in Hebrews 13, I believe it's 13:8, 7 or 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you read the verse that's right before it, it says, "Remember those who brought the Word to you. Remember them. Follow their faith, considering their end. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. In other words, those who were yesterday, remember them, because the same way Jesus worked and the same faith that they put in Jesus is going to help you today, because Jesus is the same. There's a sameness about what they did and what we do. Times might have changed, but faith in God never goes out of style. And so, William Booth, there's some things I said all that to say. He was, you know, one of those from yesterday whose faith in God and what he did and the way he did or said things, you can glean from that some of the ways to walk in the same faith in Jesus today. And he was talking, and he made this statement. He said, "What are you living for? What is the deep secret purpose that controls and fashions your existence? What do you eat and drink for? What is the end of your marrying, your giving in marriage, your money making, your toiling, your planning? Is it the salvation of souls, the overthrow of the kingdom of evil, the setting up of the kingdom of God? If not, you may be religious, but I don't see how you can be a Christian." And then he made this statement. "Most Christian organizations would like to send their workers to Bible college for 5 years. I would like to send our workers to hell for 5 minutes. That would prepare them for a lifetime of compassionate ministry." Most Christian organizations would like to send their workers to Bible school for 5 years. Nothing wrong with going to Bible school. We went to Bible school. But he said, just listen, he said, "I would like to send our workers to hell for 5 minutes. That would prepare them for a lifetime of compassionate ministry." When I read that statement, I thought of a story a friend of ours, a pastor friend of ours, told us. I'll never forget it. He was talking about talking to a man who started a ministry to street children. And this man has had phenomenal success in the ministry to street children. He has in different cities started and around the world now. And one of the reasons, if not the reason, that this man started this ministry is because as a young boy, he was left on a street corner by his mother. His mother took him to a street corner of a street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I think he was 11 years old. And she said, "I'll be back." And she never came back. And there was a Christian man who noticed this young boy on that corner. I don't remember how many days it was. It was a few days. And he didn't have the money, so he borrowed the money to send that boy to a Christian youth camp for the summer so he'd have a place to go. And at that Christian youth camp, this boy who was abandoned, who could have just become a statistic of what he just been so let down by people in this world. I've just had so many things happen and just overwhelmed by the worst in his life. Instead of being overwhelmed by the worst in his life, that young man not only became a Christian, but he became an answer to the same devastation that he experienced. Woo! Instead of letting the devastation mark him, he let his faith in God mark the devastation as, "I am delivered." Hallelujah. A pastor friend of ours was talking to him, and he was asking him how he did certain things. How do you do this? How do you do that? And he said, finally, he said he just folded his arms. They were eating pizza or something. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you don't need to know how I do it. You just need to know why I do it. Because if you know why, you'll figure out how." Well, when I read this statement by William Booth, "Most Christian organizations would like to send their workers to Bible college to 5 years. I would like to send our workers to hell for 5 minutes. That would prepare them for a lifetime of compassionate ministry." That's what he's talking about. Yeah. You can go to Bible school and learn all the hows, but if you don't know why, something's going to happen that's bigger than your ability to comprehend. And when that happens, if all you know is how, that becomes the last thing that marks your life. But if you know why, honey, I don't care what's happened. There's something greater that will cause you to be able to survive. And so, you know, I just think that's a phenomenal statement. And you wonder what was it that started an organization that has endured and been able to pass through many different phases and things in this world, and yet there are roots in there that are far greater, because the understanding of why we're doing this is far greater than any of the complications of how. And so I want to use this to help you to see why you're still here. Do you understand? If you know why, you'll figure out how. Why are you still here? Now, you may be, this could be taken as corporately as this church, but this could also be taken as individually. And I want you to just see this example from the Word of God as to why you are still here. I think I'm just going to just read to you briefly in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was on the day of Pentecost and he got up to begin. And I just love the fact that Peter was the first one who got to preach the first Holy Ghost. You could say, talk about Holy Ghost meeting on the day of Pentecost. He got to preach it. And I bet he wasn't the best preacher of all 12 of them. I just have a feeling, you know, Peter was, he wasn't always known for, you know, saying the right thing at the right time. I don't mean that to diminish the value of who he was, and that's not what I mean. I just mean he was kind of known for, you know, he's the one that cussed out the person on the, you know, the day that Jesus walked through. You know, he was the one. He kind of could spout off things here and there. But here he was on the day of Pentecost, and when he gets up, I mean, when it's time to make a declaration of what God's word says right now, right here, it's Peter, the one that's anointed to say it. And I personally believe that the reason he got the job is because he's the only one in the middle of the storm that got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. And yes, I know he started to sink, but he got back up because they got back in the boat and fulfilled the mission, got to the other side. Somebody got out of the boat. And there's something about, I don't know if you remember it, but in the middle of the storm when he began to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." Well, in this sermon in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching and he says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams." That's because they sleep more. "And on my men servants and on my," it's true, "on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. In those days, they'll prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Woo! Hot dog. Well, Peter wasn't just reading a script. He was the script. He called on the name of the Lord. He knew what happens when you're in the middle of what looks like this is it, it's over. But you can call on the name of the Lord. "Lord, save me." And he was saved. He got the job, I believe, because he was the only one who understood what it meant when you're going down and here you are getting rescued. Delivered by the hand of the Lord. That's just my personal opinion, but there you got it anyway. But anyway, so he said, it shall come to pass everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In Romans 10:13, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Now, there's a lot of reasons why you do what you do. But number one is that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you, whoever. You say, yeah, but they did this. Whoever. Yeah, but they did this more than once. Whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? In fact, he goes on and says after Romans 10:13, he says, but then verse 14, how will they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? How will they call on him of whom they haven't believed? How will they call? How can they believe if they don't hear? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will you preach if you're not sent? I like to say, wow. How will you tell them if you don't know why? See, this is not I got enough education or I got enough bills paid that I got meaning for my life. No, no. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is greater than all the sin of the world. And, you know, it really does make you realize the importance of telling the people the gospel when you realize that today there are, you know, it says how can they call if they have not believed? How can they call on him who they haven't believed? Do you know the reason a lot of people today are not calling on him? They don't even believe they can call, and the reason they don't believe they can call is because they haven't heard. And the reason they haven't heard is because someone hasn't told them. And the reason we're not telling them, it's because we don't know why we're here. And so I want you to see this, church, because I'm here to tell you, I don't care what's happened in life. You're not a problem just trying to get through. You are an answer. You are an answer. And let me tell you something. The devastation and the hurt that has come because of whatever it is you've experienced in this world, the answer from heaven is far greater than that. And when you know that, instead of your life speaking of the trouble, it will speak of the answer.
Hallelujah.
To the
Hallelujah.
Trouble. Let me give you one more example. I want you to see this. I want you to see it real clearly. In Acts chapter 16, it's Paul and Silas, and here they are in Acts chapter 16, and it says that in verse 10, they'd come to a region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they came to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit them. In other words, here they are. This is Paul and Silas. This is not his first missionary journey. He's not a novice. He's heard and seen the light shine out of heaven. He's had an out-of-the-body experience with the Lord. He's talked to Jesus face to face. He's had some pretty, you know, significant experiences with God, with Jesus. And yet here he is. I think it's interesting. Here he is in the middle of his life of faith. And he says, you know, he didn't know, he thought he should go here, but, you know, where it says the Holy Spirit forbid him, literally it was like, you know, he thought, well, I'm going to go here, but it's like the Holy Spirit on the inside said, no, I'm not going. If you go there, I'm not going. No, I don't know. Have you ever started to do something just seemed like this isn't right? And I don't know why, but it's not right. He didn't know why. I just want you to see that. He didn't know why. You say, well, if I was more spiritual, I'd know. Maybe not. You know, you don't always know everything. You know, just because you're walking by faith doesn't mean you know how it's going to happen. It just means you know the one who does know how.
Do you understand me? You say, it really bothers me that I don't understand this. Well, don't let it bother you. Because I'm telling you, just because you know Jesus doesn't mean you know everything he knows. You probably would get a little overwhelmed. So it says, so they didn't know. I just want you to see that. They didn't always know. They didn't always know the next step. But they didn't stop moving. They didn't stop moving. And the Bible says, and I like that because that spirit's in here. And so it says they came down to Mysia and they came to Troas. And if it's interesting now, because if you look at a map and you look, Troas is right on the edge of, you go any further in that same direction and you're out of land. You say, how far do you go? How far can you go? And the Bible says that he came down to Troas, and he says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he saw the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Oh, I'm telling you, they got directions. They knew why they needed to go there. And so the Bible says that they changed their course. They had a dream. You know, when you recognize, when you are walking in faith with what you do know, then you'll recognize when something happens where the Spirit of God is giving you direction in that area. You understand? Faith gives you a future. It begins to cause you to advance. It doesn't mean that you always know everything, but you are moving in the direction where the light will be given. What's he saying? Ephesians, walk in the light which you have, walk in it. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, and so they sailed down, they came, and if you read, I'm going to skip through a few places here because I want you to see why you're still here. And they met Lydia, and her whole household got baptized, and then they were walking through, it says in verse 16, they met a little girl who was possessed with the spirit of fortune telling, and she was making a lot of money for her owners by this fortune telling. And so she was following Paul and Silas, trying to disrupt things. The devil, just his hope, his only hope is the light won't shine. Because when the light shines, you say, I just wish it wasn't so dark. Oh, come on. Let me tell you, the answer to the darkness is just turn on the light. Say, I don't know what to do about all this darkness. Well, why don't you just turn on the light? You say, what happens when you turn on the light? The darkness is gone. You say, I don't like all this darkness. Well, just turn on the light. In fact, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. Light, his word, his life, the light of God's word will shine on your path and the darkness will go. And the Bible says that they began this little girl, Paul turned around and said, come out of her, you unclean spirit. And literally, immediately, she was delivered. And immediately, the people who were making money off of her were very upset, because their source of gain was now over. And so what they did is after she got delivered, it says they took Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace, brought them to the magistrates. They said, these Jews are bringing trouble, exceedingly troubling our city. And the multitude rose up against them. They tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So here they are following the dream of God, and all of a sudden all of this stuff happens. But watch what, let me tell you, if you know why you're here, all of this stuff just be becomes just become stepping stones to a greater place in the work of God. If you know why you're here, and the Bible says that when they put him in, the jailer put him in the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You ought to underline those words. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prisons were shaken. All the doors are open. Everyone's chains are loosed. Now let me ask you something. If you're in jail, if you're in prison, and every door suddenly flies open, and every chain suddenly falls off, and you're a prisoner, what are you going to do? You need to read the rest of this. Read. Come on. Read this with me. It says, the keeper of the prison awoke from sleep. He saw the prison doors were open. He supposed all the prisoners had run, just like you thought. And he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. We are all here. The Message Bible says, don't give up. We are still here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Paul didn't say, hey, there's just two of us left here. He said, we're all still here. Now listen, you might be a good preacher. You might be a good singer. But I don't know if you're preaching and you're singing in the middle of a jailhouse full of prisoners. If every chain falls off and all the doors are open, you might think you're a good preacher or a singer, but you'll find out how good you are if every prisoner who has the option of leaving decides to stay. You say, what's happening here? Paul and Silas weren't singing and praying so they could get out of prison. They were singing and praying so they could hold themselves in the will of God. Not just for them, but the prisoners were listening. What did those prisoners hear? What did they hear? I don't know, but they're the only ones that had a song at the midnight hour. They're the only ones that had a reason to sing when everybody else maybe had given up hope. But all of a sudden, all the doors open and the prisoners' chains fall off, and it's like the prisoners say, I know we could leave, but what we've got here is so much more liberating than what I ever got out there. I know I could leave, but I'm staying right here. I'm here to tell you, church, there is a sound, there is a work of God to set the captive free, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the way it's accomplished is so that when the person of the situation begins to be exposed to you and you know they're about to give up, you can declare, with just like Paul and Silas did, we're still here. You say, why are you still here? The Bible says the jailer, when he heard those words, he called for a light. He ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and he said to them, sir, what must I do to be saved? What if Paul and Silas had given up? What if they had left? What if they had been devastated by the way they had been treated? It wasn't right. The way they treated them. This isn't right. This little girl gets delivered from demonic activity. We get beaten, publicly humiliated, thrown into prison. What's up with that?
You say, it's just not right how this happened. I mean, I haven't done anything to deserve this. No, but we're still here because what God's plan is greater than whatever destruction the enemy tries to bring. And if you're still here, there is an answer to a cry of someone who's about to give up. Let me just tell you something. I wrote this down for you. Remember, trouble didn't make them weaker. It made them stronger. It won't make you weaker. It'll make you stronger if you know how to respond in faith. Remember this. Joseph, they took his coat, but they didn't take the dream of God. You say, why? Because the dream wasn't in the coat. It was in the one wearing the coat. David, all the giants looked big. But David knew that God, his God, was bigger. Peter learned that you may fail, but failure is not final if you won't give up. Moses learned, no, I like this one. These are just things I wrote down. Moses learned, you might have run away, but you can come back. Woo! He ran out to the side of the desert. He thought, I'm through. I missed 40 years. I'm off God's schedule now. But he found out on the sheep path 40 years later, Moses, you can come back. Woo! Glory to God. If you don't understand that, ask someone who can help you. You can come back. Joshua, listen, Joshua learned a shout at the right time can take you where your doubt at the wrong time tried to leave you out of. What your doubt at the wrong time tried to take from you, a shout at the right time can carry you into. Oh, hot dog, brother. I don't know about you, but I want you to understand why you're still here. Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and love in Jesus. In the Message Bible, he says, keep at your work the faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I have set out, as I set out for you. It's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. In the Amplified Bible, it says, hold fast and firm to the end our joyful, exultant confidence and sense of triumph in our hope in Christ. We're still here. What if Paul and Silas had given up? We would have never. Do you know this is the beginning of the church in Philippi? Did you know that? You would never be able to sing and know that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Everything's in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. That was a result of the work of the church in Philippi. It would have never happened. You would never have been able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You would have never been able to say, it is God who is at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All of those things came from this church. And history tells us that this jailer and these prisoners were the members, if not the jailer, pastoral team of this church in Philippi. Woo!
I bet you didn't have to say,
you say woo! I bet you didn't have to ask for a shout of faith from them. At the midnight hour, you say, things didn't go so well today. Well, we're still here, and if you won't give up, something is about to show up. Glory to God. I said, we're still here, church. We're still here. You're still here. I don't know what's happened to you, but you're still here. Do you know why? Because what did Paul tell him when he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household. In other words, he said, once it starts, you won't be able to stop it. Because light destroys the darkness.
The work of God is greater than the fall of man. The grace of God is greater than sin. His mercy is greater than judgment. James says mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your work among your people. We're still here, Lord, because we are here to answer that cry. We know why we're here. Oh, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment. Oh, yes, it may come. But when we have our eyes on Jesus, we will continue to run. Glory to God. Oh, Father, I thank you for a great day. This song came out of a camp meeting not too long ago. Well, it's been a few years ago. I don't know when it was. But it speaks. Oh, Jesus.
Just let it speak to your heart.
You are my healer, my redeemer.
Thank you.
Here.
the anointing of God connects with the Word of God, causes things to just help that you don't maybe don't understand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. He knows it. He just doesn't want you to believe. The devil's a liar.
You know. You know, people are always thinking they need something. You know, I need this person, or I need this, or I need them, or I need it. And when you look at it long enough, you realize, wait a minute, I don't need nothing. I'm living so far beneath what I was made for. I mean, we have covenant. Covenant's not, I love you, I need you, I can't live without you. Covenant's, I love you, you're with me, we're together, we can get all your needs are met. That's just God. No person can feel that. No job, no thing. Nothing can feel that in your life but God. That's why people are so disappointed. That's why you turn on TV and you hear some of these people and you go, they just don't know him. They wouldn't be saying that if they knew him.
Thank you.
He feels it all. They wouldn't be waking up every day thinking about themselves the first thing. That's what's wrong with people. They wake up every day thinking about themselves. They would realize, wait a minute, I'm living so beneath his love. His mercy, his kindness, his covenant that only belongs to a believer. I got it. I got it. You got it. I'm so glad you came tonight. Aren't you? Boy, wasn't it worth it? Just the drive here and calculating how we're going to do it, where we're staying, everybody. Then I thought, well, it's a Wednesday and Thursday. I wonder if they'll still want us to come, and because I want to go. And we didn't come here for the offering. We didn't come here for nothing. We came because I couldn't wait to get back here to see all you people and be with you, God.
We came because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
And maybe we'd have something that would help spur you in your walk and where you are now. And so it all worked out. And you were here. Wow. He loves you so much. He worked this whole thing. Gosh, you're valued. You're valued. That price that was paid was huge. It was everything. And he does have people that'll come along with us if you need someone. He will do that. He'll bring someone in your life to help you, carry you, and, work with you. And I'm not saying that. But there's a revelation that'll come to you. Like, I'm still here. Sometimes all we have to do is just get our focus back. Go, oh, yeah. That's right. You're doing great. Hallelujah. We got to concentrate on not everything that's happened to us or what's gone on, but that's not our story anymore. We have a new story, what Christ has done in us. That's our story now. We got a new one. What a great night.
You are. to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God, thank God.
Come
I
here.
See.
And I saw you. I thought, when I saw you,
I'm so glad you're still here.
That's what
I'm so glad you're
still
here.
I'm so glad you're here.
We're still here.
But then I heard something else, and I thought, you know, Lord, I don't think we could have been here any more perfect time. Praise God.
I see the light of God shining and shining through the darkness and causing a way to be made clear. Oh, and so walking forward in faith in that very same place. Oh, you will go somewhere. You will not be detained or delayed, but the Spirit of God will make a way. And so walking forward in faith with Him, although things you thought were over, you will see they will live again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Oh, I expect great things from a great God. Your glory surrounding in this place. I expect
Yeah.
Blessed be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. goes the glory. There goes the glory. Expect it. We expect great things. Oh, Father, we expect. Somebody say, I expect great things from a great God. Woo, Lord. Save our country. Save our nation. Save our people. Save our pastors. Save Israel. Save others. Oh, send the laborers. Keep them strong. Keep them strong. Strong laborers. Okay, I want you to listen to this, all right? Close your eyes, just listen. You can keep your hands on it. But I had a tongue. Lois. Gibbo soma a silly baby da shoma a keltoso. Ela masikia mu urasuma te mane munasa. No masike, no maso. Ela ma anaso. No. Ela se me urasime. Ela sono. Ela seine. Ela ma ha ha ma ke.
For the work of God is greater than the work of all that other stuff. The things of God far surpass all that which that was made, that made a place for. Oh, it's a new day when you put your faith in God. He causes hope to arise. He causes fear to be gone. He causes a greater work to be accomplished in the very same place that sin tried to run. So just trust in Him this hour and find out what God says about you, and you'll see the darkness will be gone, for light will shine through. And it will be as though you'll look back from this day and say, was I really, really like that before? Because the hand of God makes things new. He opens new doors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There, I'm not going to mess with it anymore. And then the next word came out of my mouth, Lord, I know that's just stupid. I'm going to work with it. I'm going back. And today, finally, I saw a change. First time, all these years, said something to me when I saw it before I came on this trip. But I wasn't even looking for it. I got to the point where I'm looking for it, but you know what I mean. I was just. And it came. And I purposed in my heart every time I was around him, I was going to be happy, peaceful, and joyful. I purposed in my heart. I thought sometimes I want to wring his neck, but I'm going to be happy, joyful. I purposed in my heart I was going to do that, and I have.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not said it's been easy, but faith is always the sure way. It's not always the easy way, but it's the sure way. We expect great things.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Somebody else want to come down? You got them. Come on down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ooh, blessed be the name. Oh.
When was that?
No, I'll take that.
I know, but how long ago?
That was November 2012.
I
was spirit-filled November 2012. Cindy said, you're always the one that's crying with me. And I said, well, you're the one, when you got me spirit-filled, the tears started and never stopped. So it's all your fault. I blame you.
But I love that.
It's a good kind of tears.
It's a great kind of tears.
It's an emotional and spiritual release, and it's joy at the same time.
Yes.
So it's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing.
Oh, glory to God. Come here, Duke. There's got to be a finality. I'll do it. I'm going to do my best rap. There's got to be a finality. I said finality. I know that was pretty bad, wasn't it? But I tried.
Wrap it up.
Lois said I need to wrap it up. It's the only wrap it I can do. But there's got to be a finality. Know it. Own it. You were worth it. You were worth it. Quit letting anything else be your story but the new one. That's not living. Living is different. It's all Him.
Live is Christ.
He fills up every part. Nobody needs, we don't need anybody anymore. We don't need someone to fill up something and keep searching and keep searching and keep looking. No, 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 no. No, no, no. He did it all. It's a different kind of love. Nobody can love who doesn't know God. They can need, but they don't love. Not till you know God. Then when you know Him, you don't care. Because you got it. You got Him. But then He surprises you, and you wake up, and I think, God, with all the things that I did, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And then you wake up one day, and you finally get it. He says, it's over. It's over. It's over. Somebody else.
one more night to go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know why you're still here? I pray you see it a little clearer.
Okay, say it.
June 22nd, 2015. I got filled the Holy Ghost right here.
Woo! Okay, was that the last time we were here? 2015?
I didn't realize it'd been that long.
No, 16, 17, 18, 19. You got to be kidding. No wonder my heart was aching.
You know, Robert and Tony came and saw us somewhere, though, on the road.
They saw us at Karen's.
So it hadn't been that long.
Summer.
They saw us.
That's where they saw us. That was it.
And we were praying and stuff. And
when we went out to eat afterwards, remember? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we talked at the funeral. We probably talked and talked and talked.
We did,
yeah.
That's right. Well, I don't want to keep you. I know what time it is, but it's not, it might be late, but it's not too late.
Where do you go to church? You go to church here? No. You have a home church? Okay, you got to stay close. Don't expect to stay close to Christ and not stay close to His people. That's crazy.
It won't happen.
You'll
Nobody
be in every
ever
prayer
loved
line
Jesus
in the world.
More apart from the people.
You've got to stay with His people.
Because if they're not talking to you, somebody else is.
Yeah, it's true. You've got doesn't even make sense. You got to calculate what makes sense. Stay with God's people.
Following God is not hard. It's just daily.
I just chewed you out.
Okay. No. She loves you.
I just care.
Praise the Lord.
If I didn't care, I just walk off and leave it.
Thank you, Lord.
I care. God's all over you. Wants to use you for His glory. It's not about anything. But just God and people to use. Period, the end. Not about anything that dumb TV tries to tell you. Nothing. It's not about color. It's not about wealth. It's not about position. It's not about any of that junk.
Don't let anybody but God define who you are and why you're here.
Just Christ in us. Period, the end.
Amen.
He wants to use us. Do you know Him? Oh my gosh! Well, I'm going to get a report.
Well, God bless y'all.
Come back.
Thank
bring somebody tomorrow.
We'll
night.
See you tomorrow night.
We're
at
only
6:30.
Here one more night. Bring somebody.
One more night. Come on back.
Bring somebody. Oh, I didn't get you.
I'm going to check.
Oh God, we love you.